I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There is hope in Lebanon today. The country's interior minister says economic growth is sure to follow. The country's politicians and its people are striking such a positive note for the first time in 18 months. That's after Lebanon's rival political factions announced a deal to form a unity government and elect a new president. The hope is that the move will end the kind of violence that threatened to spark a new civil war last week. Lebanon is still deeply divided along a variety of sectarian lines. One of them pits Sunni Muslims versus Shiites. Another has politicians backed by the United States against those backed by Iran and Syria. The latter bloc is headed by the militant group Hezbollah. Los Angeles Times correspondent Borzu Daragahi is in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. He says the deal offers the country a much-needed break from recent tensions.
I think there's a sense of relief on the part of the population, definitely, but also on the part of the political class who basically brought the country once again to the brink of a civil conflict, but managed to be kind of escorted out of that situation thanks to the help of the international community in general, but specifically Qatar and the Arab League.
Hezbollah represents, for the most part, the large Shia Muslim minority in Lebanon, and now it's getting a larger share of political power. Government supporters are mostly Sunni and Druze Muslims there, and I suppose it would be an oversimplification to reduce Lebanon's political problems to a Sunni-Shia divide. But I'm wondering if you've met any Lebanese whose attitudes or stories kind of crystallize for us some insight into how the Sunni-Shia split is evident in Lebanon today.
I think there is a lot of Sunni-Shiite tension. You know, you walk through Sunni neighborhoods, there's a lot of real suspicion towards outsiders now where you didn't have that before. There's a sense that the Shiites are running rampant in some parts of the city. I know that some of the Sunnis are quite offended by kind of chauvinistic Shiite songs that are played on car stereos. And I know there's a lot of conflict within families that are Sunni-Shiite. But the problem in Lebanon is primarily political, people who are tied economically, ideologically to Syria and the region, and those, you know, especially in the Christian community and the more wealthy Sunnis, who are tied to the international community and the Gulf and so on. It's not like some other places like Iraq, where there is this kind of hard and fast Sunni-Shiite divide. It's a little bit more about interests here.
Borzu, where does this power deal leave Washington? I mean, it backed the governing bloc that lost out, so Hezbollah's gains would seem to be a setback for kind of Washington's credibility in the region.
I think it is absolutely a setback. It's another example of what many analysts in the region and in Washington call evidence of a collapse of U.S. influence in the Middle East, caused primarily by the Gulf War and the overstretch of U.S. Diplomatic and military capacity in the Iraq War.
There are, of course, many, many Lebanese who are not political players. What are they thinking? And, you know, was there any pressure from civilians on their leaders to make this deal and just get things to stabilize?
You know, I was in the gym the other day while all of this political stuff was going on in Qatar, and the workers, the employees at the gym, a personal trainer, was just sitting there watching, staring at the TV in disgust. And I asked him, I said, what's wrong? Why are you looking so disgusted? And he said, you know, these guys, they pretend to be enemies. They drag the country towards civil war. And look at this. They're friends. It's like a game to them. They're playing with our country. And I think there's a real sense of disgust on the part of most Lebanese about their entire political class. And I think this was crystallized by a group of extraordinary disabled people in wheelchairs. They went out on the airport road as the Lebanese politicians were heading to the airport to head to the Persian Gulf for these all-important talks. They held up signs that said, if you don't find an agreement, don't come back. And this message really resonated with a lot of people who increasingly see their political class as kind of isolated from their day-to-day lives and as just a bunch of elitists whipping up sectarian and religious fervor for their ends and then kissing and making up for their own ends when they decide that they are in the mood to make a deal.
Yeah, that's a very poignant image. Borzu Daragahi with the Los Angeles Times in Beirut. Thank you very much indeed.
It's been a pleasure.